for us, we understand that rail reform is still on course in terms of really what we want to achieve. The other thing for us is that building blocks are the most important thing so that you can have the system. And we have engaged as the Department of Transport, where the critical elements of really having the reform being implemented was the freight logistics roadmap that we have taken through to Cabinet, which really brings the practical implementation of the rail policy and where we want to start. Key to that is that we have really ensured that Transnet infrastructure manager, which is kind of established in the interim, is able to then engage with us on the network statement. We have engaged internally, but we have made it a public document where they've put it, Transnet have put it on their website. But at the Department of Transport, we have run a gazette to publish it so that the public in general can access it. And what we'll be doing beyond this, you'll remember that there is a structure that we have created which called Interim Rail Economic Regulatory Capacity in the absence of the True Sense Economic Regulator in the transport sector. So they'll be running the consultative workshops in all three provinces. We'll one have one in Cape Town, one in Durban, and one in Johannesburg for the month of May. We will allow respective operators, roadblocks in the rail industry, to come in and make presentation to the network statement, whether is it responsive to their needs, whether some of the conditions that have been attached there, are they realistic for them to have a meaningful private sector participation in that regard. So we believe it's a step in the right direction. And once we then get the representation as members of IREG, which is independent members, together with those from government, we'll then make recommendation and make sure that a month after the closure of those, Transnet is able to publish a final network statement, which will really identify the network, the tariff fee, and methodology in terms of what we'll charge. But that wouldn't be determined by Transnet, but will be determined by the outcome, including a clear access arrangement so that if there is those that are not given access, we can know how we then adjudicate in that particular. So we are hard at work. And lastly, as part of the reforms, you'll remember that Cabinet has adopted the private sector participation framework for rail. Yes. We are working out as the Department of Transport, setting up a PSP unit to be able to make sure that whatever that goes out there in the market, it is responsive, it talks of good terms, as opposed to the two-year term that we've seen, for example, previously on the transit processor, clearly articulated, and we are building that capacity, working very closely with National Treasury. We are a sector that they are very interested in. We are working in finalizing our memorandum of understanding with them. And on board, we are bringing even DBSA to work with us. How we want to run it is that we have now actually engaged and written to Transnet to come and say, what are those PSP projects that they've been approached? We are working closely with BUSA, which is Business in South Africa, where we bring them on board because they represent a number of these guys who really wants to play in this space to come and make their presentation and the interest so that when we take out this, we can know that these are meaningful projects that we'll be able to work on. And I mean, we have learned these lessons from the electricity sector in terms of the IRA process so that you can have different bid windows, because the issue is to how do we then add capacity to our rail network and make sure that it works. And I think in our engagement, even with the guys in the private sector, they are willing to invest beyond the trains. Remember, our intention was that we'll invest in the trains, and then they'll invest in trains, we'll invest in infrastructure. But they're saying, well, we have an interest of running the trains and the infrastructure. Government, come to the party, let's discuss better methods of how do we they put their money that we can they can recoup over the years in terms of the access charges, and we can work that in.
So my only concern is that the process is already delayed, and in the call for comments and things like that being delayed, and then adding kind of a philosophy around executing the access around how the IPPs were done with bid windows and all the rest of it. I see that process taking like a very long time. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it was understood that whilst this process was going on, that operators who were ready could access the network and they can't.
Okay, the issue of delay, why we are having the engagement later in the month of May, we actually did receive requests, written requests from the industry themselves, saying the document is very voluminous, it covers a lot of aspects, and we had the ARIA written to us, various rail companies, including Tractions and some of the role players, saying, can you give us an extension in terms of the number of time that we'll be able to produce and submit our comments and have engagement? And as a current government, we're really able to look at that, because we don't want to just really have a compliance mechanism of a tick box exercise, which end of the day might not be able to really produce the results that we want to produce. So it's really at the gist of that. But it becomes very difficult because of the initial process that Transnet has run, which really didn't deliver any result. Hence, we want this one to be systematic, run through the PSP unit, where we'll identify issues and clear the terms of or the rules of the game. So that what happens is that there's a clear way of how this thing must be done. When it goes to, for example, to the infrastructure amendment, they might just implement. I mean, one of the key issues we might have to determine on is what would be the time frame suitable for the concessions for the operators to be able to recoup their cost. And I think those are the discussions really that we are finalizing. And we believe by the end of this year, we will see. Because you remember, for rail operators to be able to go out there and invest in terms of rolling stock, they want certainty that they have the rights to operate for a very long time. They can go put their orders, that they're able to recoup their investment. But those that are already having rolling stock, once the process runs and they are given a right of way, they are willing to they are more than welcome to come into the network and obviously be able to make sure that from a safety point of view, they are engaged and they can submit a safety management system in line with the requirement of the railway safety regulator to be able to run safely on our railways.
All right, so thanks for clarifying that, and I think it'll help the audience as well. So talk to me about high speed. There was a framework, went to Parliament, a feasibility study needs to be done. Will this be built in my lifetime and your lifetime? Will this go to market, my lifetime, your lifetime?
I think this is a dream. I'm willing that we must make it a reality in terms of making sure that one high-speed rail is built in the country. Because the lines themselves that has been identified really form a network for high-speed rail. And if you look at them, they connect the country. Because you talk from the first prioritized line being Johannesburg to Durban or Durban to Johannesburg, and then connecting with the second one, which is Johannesburg to Mbombela, and then Mbombela, you look at Johannesburg and Pretoria into Messina. And how does that this network does, it then fits into the overall African agenda in terms of high-speed rail. So we know Cabinet has approved the high-speed rail framework. We are already starting the implementation. In the Department of Transport, we are finalizing the process of setting up a project management office. Because we'll remember the nature of this. How you want to implement them. You want to implement them through a different capacity and dealing with that. So we will start on finalization after the project management to prioritize Durban, Johannesburg for a detailed feasibility study up to option analysis. And then what we are doing, we are engaging with the DTIC, the presidency, and see how do we then take the second prioritized project and the third one to put them into the investment book that we normally run through the investor conference. There is number of countries, number of companies that are really identified, which we know they are leaders in high-speed rail, whether you talk our Chinese counterpart, our French counterpart in terms of Europe, and the Japanese, they all have interest. But unfortunately, as this country, we have the loss of the country that governs us, the PFMA, but we are happy that even National Treasury has come on board in terms of review of their triple P regulations, because any project of this nature, you need to take it to National Treasury and register it as a form of a PP and follow all the process of Regulation 16 in terms of approval. So their process of reviewing of the regulatory regime, we see it as a next step and a game changer in really making sure that private sector participation and partnership with those that wants to work with us becoming a part, because high-speed rail in itself, it's expensive. You really want a combination of a concession, whether you call it the bill operating of transfer, but working with government, making its contribution either in terms of land, which is right of way, and other guarantees that will come. And as I think as a country, we are really fortunate that in other sectors we have done this, Gautrain being one of the examples, and the team that we are working with, even in terms of the involvement of PSP, we are working with like the former CEO of Gautrain, who's now working with the colleagues in the Treasury on the PSP model, and we believe we'll be able to make an impact.
Fantastic. So one more question, and I don't know if you can answer it. What are the chances of DOT getting involved so that, let's say, come December, I can climb on this train and go to Zimbabwe from Cape Town or Johannesburg?
The trains, remember how they have been manufactured. They manufacture to serve different purposes. So this train, it is a commuter design train, and there's a specific purpose for that, because normally in your commuter network, the stations are not far from each other. You have acceleration, deceleration in between. Hence, you see that the speed, obviously, of this train can go up to 120 kilometers, depending on the track conditions and on the track, obviously, that you wanna deal with. But there is a different process of your long distance trains, which, you know, we have always have challenges because of the kind of the train set that we have had over time. But through the GO program that we are having, we are obviously working hard to make sure that those couches which are suitable for long distance, I mean, having dining places inside, having the bathroom, which is really different from your commuter trains, which is short one. So we are working on that program as a temporary measure, because the future of long distance trains is in high speed rail. Which is a dream that me and you said we want to realize in our lifetime.
Well, you see, so just, you know, that step back in case we don't realize that dream. You know, we are connected to our SADC neighbors by rail. Might not necessarily be this train, but we are connected to them, and we should actually be able to move our people through SADC.
I mean, part of the open access. You remember previously, even from a freight point of view, you have operators like CFM from Mozambique, which they'll have to come in the country, sit at the border, hand over to TFR. Remember, they are one of our permit operators in terms of the RSR regime. So they'll be allowed now to be able to run their trains into the country through the new network. So the same element will then translate to passenger.
Yes.
If there is an operator, because the track will be there practical, who wants to run border commuter trains, they'll be allowed to be able to deal with that within the regime, as long as they can be able to invest and they find that there is a suitable infrastructure for that to do. Because I think one of the key elements that the rail policy itself covers in terms of practical implementation is interoperability.
Yes.
And how do we then make sure that when we then transform in this element, we don't leave the one SADC as our neighbor, secondly Africa into them. And we are playing that critical role. For example, in setting up the standard, I mean, the railway safety regulator has played a very role in really establishing a regulator with clear standards for the SADC region. And we have done that working with Angola, with Botswana, with Mozambique, and it is key to the agenda. And it's really with this kind of initiative that we therefore want to support this rail renaissance that we want to introduce both in the country and within the African and the SADC network.